intention is to consent to God's presence and his action within us. That is what we're doing in centering. Do you remember the part where Jesus was in Gethsemane and he said to the disciples, stay awake, you know, just, you know, be alert. So, interesting enough, they did exactly what we do. They went to sleep. And it's kind of what we do. Centering prayer, which is the foundation of contemplative practices, is about staying awake with God. Once again, consenting to his presence and his action within each of us. It's fasting of the mind. So 20 minutes twice a day, we're fasting our mind. And it's not about blanking out our mind and getting rid of thoughts. But we do lay aside the thoughts, the constant stream of thoughts, waves of thoughts, and all the emotions that go along with it, past, future, fantasy, sadness, or, you know, happiness, all of that stuff. It's about laying it aside. And all the feelings that happen with it. And gently, without force, gently coming back to that sacred word. This is actually the work of attention. The noticing the thoughts and the sensations, noticing them, but adding nothing to them, subtracting nothing from them. When our minds wander, we're saying our word and then our mind wanders. You just come back and you realize it. You just simply drop the thought, drop the problem that you were trying to solve, okay? And just come back to it that gently again and again and again. What I wanted to do today was really discuss the why, what's happening. Because this prayer is just so powerful in our lives. We're talking about the four moments of centering prayer. That's kind of where I'm going to discuss a lot right now. If you'll notice, the middle is our true self. Do you see the dot? And in that middle is the divine presence that reveals our true self. It's hard to believe that we don't know who we are, but we don't. We think we do. We have an image of who we think we are, but we really don't know who we are. But God does, because he created us. And he's always revealing us to ourselves. That's really part of what centering does. So on the you see where it says a spiritual level of awareness? That's where we're seeking to be, in the spiritual way. Because we live in the ordinary level of awareness. That's where we are. You know, we walk around, we're in that ordinary level of awareness. Now, let me just let you know that this book, The Four Moments, came from Father Keating. He's done a tremendous amount of work in helping us to understand what's happening, intimacy with God. But the foundational book is Open Mind, Open Heart. Everything that I talk about or know comes from that. And so I want to really talk about what's happening, because it's kind of exciting. So here, to me. So we sit down like we just did, we close our eyes, and what we're saying is yes. Yes. Whatever the word is that you have or the symbol, what it means is yes, God. The beginning, I'm consenting. Our breathing, the consenting. And then Barbara always talks about the whole boat's floating down the stream. You see, it's right there. Barbara always talks about that anytime I've ever come here. The boats are floating down the stream of consciousness, and you get all the thoughts and all that other stuff. And maybe you'll go right into that second moment, which is rest, that deep rest. I've heard many of you say, oh, I really had such peace, whatever, you know. And what that is it's a freedom from attachments. It's a deepening trust in God. It is a relaxation of our emotional doubts and drama and stuff. It's about the fact that our body stores all of this emotional pain from childhood. It stores all the emotional traumas that we've had. Our body stores that. And when we're in that deep rest, God is literally healing us. And because we have no defenses, there's no defenses when we're in that deep rest. And whatever coping mechanisms we've used are now let go of. And our body feels healthy, revitalized, as our psyche releases all that emotional debris. But here's the thing that he does in this book. He talks about the third moment. There's a whole chapter on the third moment, and it's called The Unloading of the Unconscious. And listen to me, if you have experienced that deep rest, Annie always talks about that, guarantee that you will then at some point, go into the unloading of the unconscious. That's when people stop centering. That's when people say, oh, this isn't working. I got way too many thoughts coming. There's too much stuff happening, and I'm not even concentrating. That's the work. That's the staying. The unloading of the unconscious is undigested, he says it, so I'm not, emotional material. It's like having eaten something and it's sitting there for like 20, 30, 40 years, not digested. Well, guess what? It's coming out. And you think, there's something wrong with me that I'm having all these thoughts. I know I have sat through 20, 25 minutes. And when the bell went off, thought to myself, did I even say my sacred word? Because it was like such a bombardment. That's the unloading of the unconscious. That is right. That's supposed to, every moment, every centering moment that we spend in that 20 minute, 25 minute, whatever, time with God, is gonna be different. It's going to be different for each one of us, and it's going to be a different experience because he's doing different things. We all have stuff that we don't even know about that has to be let go of. Sometimes it's like psychic nausea or unarticulated, like a baby. Unarticulated emotional trauma. Does this make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay, good. But those bombardments of thoughts and feelings that surge into our awareness and have no relationship sometimes with the immediate past are right. They are right. And then there's the fourth moment. I heard someone say here one day, I remember centering with you guys and we were going around the room and I can't remember which person said it. But she said, I just felt like crying. You know, I remember that so vividly. She said, I don't even know why. But I knew that she was in the fourth moment. Sometimes the evacuation moment for me is sometimes giggling all of a sudden, and I'm like, get yourself together, you know? It's a release of unrelated stuff. So you'd think, oh my God, well, what's the difference between evacuation and unloading of the unconscious? Evacuation usually has a little pain with it, you know? Because as I said, we are carrying 20, 30, 40 years of emotional pain that we don't even recognize that we have. But if we just continue to go back to our sacred word, this too shall pass, like everything else. When a certain amount of emotional stuff has been evacuated, it is like an interior silence. It's a space that we don't see, but the spirit does. And it opens that space for healing in such a way that we don't see that. See, when you get up from centering and you say, oh, gee, I feel great, you didn't get it, because most of the time, you don't feel anything. This is Father Keating always said that, you know? It's not in the centering or after the centering. It's in your daily life that you experience the fruits of centering prayer.
So I have a question.
Good.
I get what you just said.
Okay.
When you're talking about the evacuation, that, you know, I occasionally have that, you know, I'll cry for no reason at all.
Maybe it was you.
Probably was, because I'm the only one ever cries yet. you know, I had like this one tear, but I have an immediate thing that I've been stressing over, and I thought, okay, now I'm letting it go. You know, I mean, I let it go at that moment, and after the prayer, my thought was, like, the tears just kept coming, you know, and I just, you know, it was like a thought to me. Like, and I just let it go.
Yeah, right.
But afterwards, I thought, I felt differently about it than I ever did before. I was thinking that was like I was attaching to that in thoughts after the prayer. Like, what did that mean? Or trying to figure it out. And my thought today was that was my, it was like when your body is healing itself, right? And I had the thought that the tears were
healing.
My body healing itself, an actual physical, you know.
Yeah. Well, Father Keating talks about that as being evacuation. He does in Open Mind, Open Heart, or in Intimacy. I don't remember which book, but he definitely talks about it. It's right. Just let it go. Let it pass. Like I said, don't add anything to it. Don't try to figure it out. You know, we're such human doings. Instead of human beings.
Yeah.
Always
yes. I like that.
Yeah. Okay, so he talks about this being an ongoing cycle. He and Father Keating talks about it being a spiral staircase in his books and in his videos. Because when you're on a spiral staircase, regardless of where you are on it, it's almost like you're seeing the same thing again. Well, I've been here. But you're not. You're at a deeper level inside of the spiritual level of awareness. You may not be aware of that because we think we need to know everything, but it really is about trusting and faith. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we leave with this reservoir of silence in us. We leave with this. And throughout the day, and this is what blew me away when I learned it, we experience these moments. These same moments are happening to us throughout the day. This is how good God is. He just continues working on us whether we like it or not. And we don't have to be aware of it, because our God is all about transforming us. I had in my notes here that I would ask a man this, because I figure men seem to always know stuff. And so I'm glad there's at least three of you. Do you know what a tell is? An archaeological tell?
Archaeological tell?
Yeah.
No, a tell is in poker.
Really? Okay. So when I went to Israel, I went to a section that they were the young, skinny, digging. And what they do is when Babylon captured this, you know, those right. things, they would build another community or another civilization on top of the other one.
Yes.
Okay? And as the archaeologically people dug, it was a tell. That's what they called it, a tell. Because
reveal.
It was
what a big reveal.
Right. They were it was uncovering right. what was under it before. Mm-hmm. Okay. That makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's God uncovering us. Uncovering the things about us that are of no use.
So that's like dismantling the false self.
Exactly. that's real. If that he gets rid of what's not useful, that's what centering is doing. And keeping what is. What makes us. It's like that scripture that talks about the wheat and the tares, or the wheat and the weeds. That's what I call it. They're growing up the same, but you're going to get rid of the weeds and you're going to keep the wheat. One of the things that is so important is understanding that once this process begins, twice a day for 20 minutes, it's continuing. It's occurring. And Father Keating wrote a book about the divine therapist, and that's what he calls God. Divine therapy is centering. Show up for your appointment. You know, if you don't show up for your appointment for a therapist, they charge you anyway. And yet, we won't show up on that second time. We'll show up in the morning, maybe. And then in that second time, we don't show up. And God is wooing us. That's why we're all here, you know. He's wooing us because he wants us to know us, the true self. Not that image we created, you know, to help us get through life or to survive whatever we had to go through. This is truly about continual work that God does within us. It's so exciting to me. I get very excited about this. So, because, you know, I'll take up too much time.
You know, Diane, that really is very exciting, because the more that I find I'm into the prayer, the more I look at life so differently.
Yes.
Yes.
And it really, really is. One of the things that I used to hold on to, how I saw white people. Really. I had, this is how they are. here's the interesting aspect of it. Until I was willing to let go, you know, of how I saw things.
The same goes for white people.
Yes, I know, but I'm just talking about me. But until I was willing to let go, I couldn't be of service to God in what his plan was, not Diane's plan. I get very emotional about that. Sorry.
Yeah, you are today.
So, I know. I have, I'm in the process of writing a book. It's called Get Off Your Back. And the opening of the book says this. We are either growing or we're dying. We're not doing both. The plant is growing or dying. It's not doing both. There is no sitting still. We're doing. God is doing something in us, whether you want it or not, because He is responsible for our growth. And we are responsible, hold this, for receiving.
That's right, for receiving.
Receiving.
I think sometimes it's very difficult to receive. We
yes.
like to give, hopefully.
But we really don't have anything to give unless God's given it to us. So receiving is what we do in life to grow. The water, the whatever, the weeding. He does a lot of pruning. You know, all of that is necessary for us to be who He calls us to be. That holiness, as we begin to wind down. This is a beatitude. How happy are they who hunger and thirst after holiness, for they shall be fully satisfied. This beatitude heralds graduation from the emotional programs of early childhood, whose forces are cutting edges, are blunted by the discipline of contemplative prayer. The fruits of that discipline manifest themselves in the determination to practice what is characteristic of this level of human consciousness, which is to show love. Divine love is not mere feeling. It is a love that manifests itself by deeds. After Jesus, the greatest sacrament is another human being. We are made in the image and likeness of God. Those of us who have been taken up through faith and baptism into the body of Christ are growing as a corporate personality into the fullness of Christ. To hunger and thirst after justice is to manifest divine love under all circumstances. This is what human beings were created to do. It is our nature. This is from the mystery of Christ, Father.